We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
You play to win the game.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, that was President Trump's address. We get back to some sports now and some baseball on Sports Open Line. I'm going to reshuffle things a little bit. Jeff Levering will join us next hour. Also, Chris Landry on football.
All right, off night for the Cardinals, so we are zipping around the National League Central, and always a pleasure to go up to Chicago and chat with our guy, David Kaplan. You can hear him on ESPN Radio. He's on CSN for Cubs pre- and post-game. Also has a book out, The Plan. And, Capper, I imagine as you're going around doing book signings and on TV and dealing with people on the radio show, just a calm, collected Cubs fan base. I bet nobody's going crazy or ready to jump off the ledge right now.
Oh, my goodness. I feel like a psychotherapist every year with this team. And, yeah, it's great to be on with you. But people have, for a team that won it all last year, you'd think they would relax and go, all right, whatever happens, we won. And instead, they've just been freaky. So people are a little hard on the team right now, but I think they're going to be okay.
Why is that? It's almost like winning made people just more crazy, and I guess that's the nature of sports fans. But as you said, you would think that you'd maybe give them the benefit of the doubt, especially a team that's now been in first place in the division, say what you will about the division, but over the last month or two.
You know what? It's just you expect more out of whoever the case may be. Like, they've kind of accepted that Jason Hayward is what he is, but they expect Chris Bryant to be better than going into August, he was hitting .220 with runners in scoring position. They expect more out of John Lester. They had expected more out of Arrieta. They're getting that now. They now have Wilson Contreras on the shelf, Addison Russell on the shelf, Koji Uehara just came back, John Lester on the shelf. So we've had our share of, you know, maybe not totally super serious injuries, but they've had a lot of. It just hasn't been smooth like it was a year ago.
What do you make of the World Series hangover? We hear people talk about it. Dexter Fowler here in St. Louis has talked about it and said that after a couple of stints on the disabled list, he feels right now like he's probably healthy for the first time this year. You play a really long season, especially a team like the Cubs. You have all sorts of off-season obligations and demands after you win the World Series. Is that something that you think is real? Can you explain that at all for some of the injuries and some of the lack of production, or do we make too much of that?
Well, I don't think we make too much of it, Chris. I think, you know, I asked Mike Montgomery, who got the final out and got the save in Game 7, and I said, let me ask you a question. Explain to me how this offseason was different. He said, you know, I'm a young guy, I'm in good shape, but he said, I was so exhausted at the end of that run, emotionally and physically. And so you said, I didn't start really throwing until mid-January, as opposed to he would normally start throwing in mid-December. He said, I would normally have the whole month of November off. I'd get around Christmas time, start throwing. He said, so now all of a sudden, I'm behind. He goes, and I was able to get my velocity to where it is, 94, 95, but he said, I had to really push to get it there. He said, last year that ball came out of my hand free and easy, and 95, not a problem. He said, it's taken the better part of 3 or 4 months of the season to feel like he's himself again. So, and I've had multiple guys tell me that, so I guess there's something to it.
Yeah, and I guess everywhere you go to on the road, especially you're the Cubs and you're the defending champs, and you're going to get everyone's best crack. It's just kind of seemed like there have been some opportunities this year, and this next set of games against Cincinnati, Philly, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, and Pittsburgh. Again, maybe this is the stretch where the Cubs have a chance to kind of pull away from Milwaukee and St. Louis, who don't seem to be doing themselves any favors in terms of trying to close the gap when they have chances.
Yeah, I think this, you know, division is going to be close. I don't see the Cubs, you know, blowing it open by any case. But I'm surprised that the Cardinals and the Brewers, with the struggles that the Cubs had for so long, couldn't take better advantage of it. Now, I don't think it's a great Cardinal team. I don't. I think it's a team that's got a good manager. They have the Cardinal way. They've got a really good plan going in every year. I just don't think they're exceptionally talented. Now Wainwright's on the DL. Rosenthal's got issues. I just think it's a team that if they were going to surprise everyone and win this division, they had to take really good advantage of the struggles of the Cubs, and I don't think they've done that.
Yeah, and I think that in July, if you had either played really, really, really well or really, really poorly, at least then you may have had an idea if you wanted to add at the deadline, if you wanted to trade a piece or two, but they were just kind of in no man's land, and while the Cubs certainly made some, I think everyone agrees, really impressive moves, even with the struggles of Wilson, the Cardinals and Brewers just kind of stood pat.
Yeah, they stood pat. It's funny because I asked Theo, did you see yourself ever as a seller? And he said, if we would have looked up the last few days of July and had gone from 5.5 out at the All-Star break to 8.5 or more, he said, we're 8.5, 9 back. I'm probably selling. He goes, hard as that might be for some to accept, he goes, I'm probably selling, which meant you were selling Jake Arrieta, you were selling John Lackey if possible, and you're selling Wade Davis. Those three for sure. John Jay could be on that list. All guys that had their contracts up. So funny how you come out of the break, you sweep the Orioles, you sweep the Atlanta Braves, you play really good baseball, and in the span of 10 days to 2 weeks, you go from 5.5 out to 1.5 up, and all of a sudden, here's Jose Quintana, here comes Justin Wilson, who hasn't been great yet, but he's got good stuff. Here comes Alex Avila, now they go get Rene Rivera. You know, they just, there's no quit, Theo, no quit.
All right, that's Dave Kaplan. We'll take a break, come back more with Capper from Chicago as we talk some baseball. To Dave Sinclair, Lincoln at Ford Sports Open Line, back in a moment on KMOX.
I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
The Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line continues.
Not a game. We're talking about practice.
On KMOX.
All right, Sports Open Line continues. Chris Raby with you, hanging out until 10 o'clock tonight. David Kaplan with us right now. We're going to get to Jeff Levering as the Brewers get set to take on the Giants coming up in our next hour. Also, Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com with the first LandryFootball.com report of the year. But we continue talking Cubs and National League Central with our guy in Chicago, David Kaplan, not just radio on ESPN 1000 and TV on CSN Chicago, but also an author. The book is The Plan, Epstein, Madden, and the Audacious Blueprint for a Cubs Dynasty. You wrote this last year, and you and I were, I think, having coffee, and you said that when you pitched the book, you said, they're going to go, and they're going to win the World Series. And you captured this incredible year, and you have the relationships within the team, within the front office. But I wonder, Cap, as you wrote the book and saw them get to the top of the mountaintop, how have you seen the club now, not necessarily pivot, but say, all right, we won the World Series and we move forward? They move forward unemotionally at times. As you said, they were prepared to potentially move assets a year after winning the World Series. But has your perspective or your appreciation for how Theo and company has gone about it changed now in the months after they won the World Series?
To see, Chris, how bad they were, like how far down this whole thing was, I realized it was like trying to catch a fly with chopsticks. I mean, I'm not kidding you. That would be how lucky they would have had to have been to find a way to win the World Series. They had no shot. They had no infrastructure. They had no real commitment to analytics. It was, oh, that guy has good numbers on the back of his baseball card, yeah, so let's sign him. And they had no commitment to the minor league system. Theo comes in, and it's, to me, it's a cautionary tale to any GM that takes a job and any ownership group. Be transparent with your fan base. Don't tell them something that you think is true that isn't true. Don't go out and say, hey, you know what, we think we can contend when you know deep down you can't just because you're trying to sell a few more tickets. When Theo came here in 2011, November, and then for the first season was 2012, I had him on multiple times. He said, look, it's probably not going to be a good season. I'm just being honest with you. If I wake up in July and we're in the race, sure, every season's sacred. But let's be honest here. We're not going out and spending big money on free agents. we are going to try and build our minor league system, and every deal we make will be all about getting young talent back. That's what they did, whether it was Kyle Hendricks at Class A, whether it was a struggling Jake Arrieta who was headed to AAA with the Baltimore Orioles, whether it was Pedro Strop, who was a struggling young reliever, whether it was going out and moving Samardzija for Addison Russell and throwing Jason Hamill in the deal and jumping the market by almost a month. They did it on July 4th. They traded Scott Feldman in the Arrieta deal in June. I mean, Theo said, if someone wants to make a deal, I'm not going to try and go, well, I think I can maximize it if I wait three more weeks. You give me what I want, you can have my guys.
You know, it's also tough in this day and age because fans have as much information and know as much about your minor league systems as ever. So when you're in the midst of this rebuild, you know, you can buy yourself some time, but the players aren't playing well in the minors and they're not getting up to the big leagues and they're not progressing, there's even more pressure on you. And it's just incredible the amount of information that's out there now, whether it's guys that you draft and develop or acquire or sign internationally. I mean, fans have as much access to this as they ever have.
Yeah, fans are really, really good on top of all of this info. And they now, you know, like here at Comcast SportsNet in Chicago, we watch and run games, and we watch in our newsroom, and now we're running White Sox-Charlotte minor league games because of all the trades. That's right. There are nights, if we don't have a Cubs or Sox game, we are running AAA baseball on our station, and there is an appetite for it. Our White Sox podcast that these guys do here is the number one downloaded podcast at our station, and the White Sox are 5 billion games up the track. It's because people are excited by the transparency of the plan.
David Kaplan, that is the name of the book, The Plan. You can also catch Cap on ESPN 1000, Cubs pre and post. Hey, man, it looked like you and the Brett man had an awesome time. You jetted up to Fenway Park for Yankees-Red Sox. You've been a part of Cubs-Cardinals rivalry. What was that like to watch that at Fenway?
It was really cool. I had to work on Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday, the games were not on CSN. So I said to Brett, we try to go to a different ballpark every summer. I said, hey, man, where do you want to go? You pick it. He picks it every year. A few years ago, he wanted to see Mike Trout play, and then we jumped down to San Diego from Anaheim and saw the Cubs there. We've been, you name it, we've been. And so he said, Dad, can we go back to Fenway? Because we've been there. Can we go back to Fenway and watch Aaron Judge? He loves Aaron Judge. He's a front runner, as I like to tell him, kiddingly. And so I bought tickets, box seats for Saturday night's game. And Sunday we sat a first row on the Green Monster. Let me tell you something. That was a bucket list item for me, and it was awesome. We had a blast. I mean, it's just a lot of fun, and he was in Cubs gear. He had a Chris Bryant jersey on Saturday. He had a Schwarber gold jersey, you know, with the gold piping.
Yeah.
Had that on Sunday, and people were high-fiving him as he walked. And as I've said before on the air, Brett is a special needs child. He's got a form of autism, but he is in love with baseball, in love with it. He'll watch any game, any team, any time. And so to be there, just him and I sitting there in the Green Monster and watching baseball and eating hot dogs, it was just awesome.
I've got chills. What a weekend, man. Glad you guys got to do that. And hopefully it's an interesting next 5 or 6 weeks till we wrap up the regular season. We'll see you in Chicago next month. Capper, appreciate it, man. You're the best.
You too, buddy. This race is not over. It's going down the wire.
It's David Kaplan from ESPN Radio and CSN Chicago Cubs pre and post. Those Fenway seats look nuts. I have been to Fenway before, but have not been up there. That would be really cool. Making the one ballpark a year is a really cool thing. And I think, like, it's easier than you think to try to pick one spot and go and see great ballparks, and don't necessarily need to see the Cardinals or whoever your team is. Just check out the ballpark in the city. So that is very cool. Green Monster seat's definitely going on the bucket list as well. All right, shuffled some things around after the presidential address. When we come back after the news, we're going to head to San Francisco. Jeff Levering, Brewers broadcaster, will give us a Milwaukee perspective. Thought it would be cool if the Cardinals off tonight. Take a look at what the Cubs and Brewers are doing, how they're feeling. We'll do that. Then Chris Landry gives us the first Landry football report of the season. It's almost football season. So Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line, 3 hours in the books, 1 hour to go, and we're back talking more baseball and football after the news on KMOX.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.